Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. The Astrology Hour can be heard weekdays from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and Tuesday's special expanded edition from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. The Astrology Hour is a public-supported radio show produced by Leo Scorpio Productions. And a happy good afternoon to you, all of Southern California. Thank you for listening when I took a day off Friday and Monday. And welcome to the Tuesday two-hour expanded edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Very excited to be back. And we are having a very, very interesting topic today. I think this is very fascinating because it's an astrological topic. It is called Planetary Magnetism, the Earth as a Magnetic Circuit, and how that affects us at birth, how that creates the natal effect when we are born. So I think this is a very, very exciting, far-out topic. Let's talk about this planetary magnetism and the Earth as a magnetic circuit. Well, when I started studying astrology long, long time ago, I had some very, very interesting teachers, some wonderful teachers, some very evolved, powerful teachers. Like, for some reason, sometimes when I got taught by people, they would they'd sit you down and they'd relax you and they'd put their hands on your temples, right? You'd close your eyes and they'd start teaching me astrology basics, some deep metaphysical basics. And it was almost like Moses, you know, I felt this energy go from their body into my head, you know, and I'd be hearing what they'd be saying, and it blew my mind, some of the stuff that came through. So when I got taught by people that knew astrology, it was really cosmic. Sometimes it makes me wonder if these people weren't aliens, but anyway, maybe I am too, who knows. But at the same time, I did learn one major critical point for every student in astrology to become totally aware of, that the Earth is a magnet. In fact, the Earth is such an incredible magnet, if you consider it for a moment, how everything falls to Earth, right? In fact, planes land that way, and people, if you ever tried to jump up, you've noticed you come down. If you want to test the magnetism and you're holding an object in your hand, just drop it, and you'll see how it immediately is pulled down to the ground, you know? See, if the Earth wasn't a magnet, and if there's no gravity here, then we would all be floating. We would all be floating, and everything else would be floating. In fact, the Earth wouldn't even hold together. But there is some incredible force at the center of this planet, and I gotta think that magnetism and gravity in itself is almost like a miracle unto God. Because you gotta believe, in the vacuum of space, right? In space, in outer space, where all there is vacuum, for there to suddenly appear these orbs of light, these stars, and celestial bodies that orbit around them, planets, that are held together. You know, like, I think the proof of God is in the fact that gravity exists in a vacuum. Did you ever think about that? Now, I want you to ask a scientist, next time you meet a scientist or somebody into gravity or astronomy, you ask them how easy it would be to create artificial gravity environment in a vacuum. First of all, they'll laugh and they'll go, no way, buddy, like, no way. So, you know, obviously I have been able to prove unto myself a couple things, that gravity and magnetism are like unto each other as far as a miracle is concerned, as far as what holds this planet, all planets in this solar system, and all stars together. And you have to believe with these huge celestial bodies called stars and solar systems that are hundreds of thousands of light years apart that form this galaxy that also somehow is held together. Wow, then you start to grasp the magnificence of the power of the God force, how it holds this dimension together. And I know metaphysically a lot of people will say that this is the third dimension, it's an illusion, of separation. And that is true, but still this illusion is still projected by a holographic image that is held together by gravity and by magnetism. So what happens is that we as creatures somehow, not only was this planet created by some miracle in the middle of nowhere, right, in this vacuum of space, but also living creatures, living beings developed, life developed on Earth. Amazing, isn't it? First of all, you have a vacuum, and then you have a bunch of magnets in the middle of a vacuum. Then all of a sudden, you have creatures walking around on these magnets. Now, that to me is proof that there's a God. I don't know about you, but either there's a God or there's one heck of a lab technician out there that has some answers that are just mind-boggling. But still, as I research this and I study this, I come to the belief that we, because we stick to the Earth and we walk around, we get tired during the day because of the magnetism and the gravity. And also, we have also proven that the body closest to the Earth, the Moon, which is the closest to the Earth, which affects the tides and our emotions, and the Sun, which is the largest body near to the Earth, which its sunspot activity definitely affects the weather and the way this planet revolves, and a lot of the shelf activity and the plate activity on this planet, earthquake activity, we actually are given right in front of us a validation or a proof or an answer as to how the system works. So when people look at a certain thing as far as trying to figure out how astrology works, then I like them to consider magnetism. Because one time when I was in one of these sessions, and one time I was in a situation where I felt this vibration that I went from one state, which was like, well, I'm, you know, not too sure about astrology, to the next state, which I was like, wow, whoa, what are you, who? That's amazing. I can't believe that the magnetism is the answer. So at the same time, what I have done is I have formulated this theory that this is a magnetic system, it is an awesome cosmic engine, and that the Earth, because we have validated that in this solar system, it is the only planet we know of that has life, or that is even capable of life, as we know it, considering the temperature and the environment and such, that the Earth literally is like a living entity. It's like a living being that gives off an incredible vibration. I don't know if you could ever be aware, or if you could visually see or sense the magnetic field around this planet, but it is awesome! It is unbelievably powerful. You know, it blows my mind how powerful the magnetic field is that surrounds the Earth and the Sun and all the planets. But there are scientists out there that say that the planets don't affect the Earth. And I say hogwash. That's like saying that one piston in an engine won't affect another piston in an engine. We're all in one big engine. I think everything in the universe affects everything. Everything relates to everything, and everything bounces vibrations off of everything. So there has to be an effect. I think that when people are born on this planet, that this universe, this dimension, this solar system, and this planet, and the Sun were designed and are designed to give off a particular vibration that changes every microsecond, which means that it fascinates me to know that depending where the rest of the planets are in this system, including the Sun and the Moon, that when a baby is born on this planet and inhales that first breath, it literally absorbs the current Earth vibration. I want that to be clear to you. See, the center of every birth chart, the center of every natal chart is the Earth. So the baby, obviously being an Earthling, right, is a baby that would reflect the magnetic field, which goes far beyond than what we just sense. See, because all these planetary locations, the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, like I said, and Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and the rising sign, all these planetary locations are part and parcel to the effect that happens before a baby is born. And I really believe that an entity being reduced from the oneness of God it is before it comes to this dimension and experiences its karma, as it is reduced in its uniqueness to finally become a baby, the last oneness it feels is the planet Earth, the entity of the Earth, because the Earth is spirit essence. So therefore, we are not only one with God, one with the universe, one with all people, but we are also one with Earth. So actually, all of us are little natal charts of the Earth. The Earth location, we are like unto Earth beings, Earth children. So therefore, if an extraterrestrial was going to analyze astrology in a high level, what they would do is they would call that, all of us, Earth children. And in order to understand our vibration or our magnetic charge, they would look at the state of the Earth in correspondence and respect to the rest of the solar system, which is what we call the natal chart. And that's why the astrology chart is so important, so valuable, and so powerful, because of this planetary magnetism that goes on. See, there's babies being born left and right every second. And every second, every microsecond, the Earth is changing its vibration. So whenever a baby comes out of the womb and the umbilical cord is cut and it takes its first breath, it literally absorbs this cosmic effect from the Earth that is a reflection of the entire dimension and the planets, the Sun, the Moon, that are closest to the Earth in this solar system, which make up the natal or the birth chart, actually are that electronic circuit that the baby absorbs that not only gives us our uniqueness, it also gives us our own personal vibration, our own personal magnetism or repulsion, depending on what goes on. And that's what life is all about, really, if you think about. Just for one second, I want to put my hands on your temples, okay? Just relax. I want to put my hands on your temples. And if you just think about what life is all about, it's one major series, right, of attraction and repulsion. Did you think about that? You are attracted to certain people and certain things and certain events and certain activities karmically that you need to experience. and you are repulsed, you are kept away from those people in those areas and people at parties and people in businesses and certain jobs you might want, you are kept away from those areas that you are not meant to be involved in, and you're normally attracted to those areas even though you may be hurt, destroyed, or rejected, or feel horrible about what you're getting into. You are attracted and repulsed to things just like a magnet. If you remember when you were a little kid, when I used to go to school, I used to get bored with some of my classes, so I'd always bring magnets. While the teacher was talking, I'd sit there at my desk, and I would sit there and play with them, and I'd always be fascinated. When they're pointing a certain way, they would attract each other like glue, and when they're pointing another way, there's no way. They were like, there's like a force that you feel that keeps them apart. And that force blows my mind, because that is the basis of astrology. Because that magnetism that you feel in the magnets, whatever you feel, the repulsion and the attraction that is there, is only a tip of the iceberg, is how that really works. What that really is, that is the God essence. That is the electricity that fuels this dimension. And I love it. I just love it. I almost said a dirty word, but I just love it. I fleecing love that energy. So in order for people to listen to this show and respect what the show's all about and to understand astrology as a science, you must understand this magnetic effect. And for people out there that should look at you because you're into astrology and should say things to you like, do you believe in that stuff? Well, why don't you turn to them and say, well, do you believe in magnetism, guy or gal? Or here's a copy of the show from April the 19th. Why don't you listen to it? It makes a lot of logical sense. And it really does. All right. Yeah. Okay, now we're going to continue with some more Astrology Hour, and we're going to talk more about planetary magnetism. We are going to talk to Captain Casey about this recent comment on John Demjanjuk, who is from America, who just got convicted of killing Jews in World War II. We'll talk about that. And a comment about Reagan's chart also coming up. But at this point, there are probably some people out there that want to get themselves charted. They probably have listened to the show and they've decided, well, you know what, the magic, the true magic about the Astrology Hour, and the reason why I really do love this show, especially when I'm on the air, right, is that the way we stay on the air, and this just blows my mind because I used to think about this years before I ever thought about being on the radio with astrology, is that we are able to chart people and give them a glimpse, an image, a term paper on their personal magnetic reflection at birth. In other words, once you hear this topic, if you don't sit there and go, wow, like I am ready to get myself charted, then what's it all about? Alfie is the question there. Because you listen to a topic like this, and I hit you with so much logic concerning magnetism, that most people want to know what their magnetic structure is when they took their first breath. And that's why we need your date, time, and city of birth. Okay, Casey, seems like you're concerned with this conviction, huh, guy?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Of course.
What's happening?
Well, the man really created a lot of karma. He kind of messed himself up, I believe, in killing all these people or allowing them to die or whatever he did. And it seemed he abused an awful lot of people and really was a lousy guy.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? Tell us what he did for his soul, for the eternity of who he is, as to what he's done bad for himself. Or was he doomed to do that? Was something set up?
Well, do you know his birthday?
No, I don't.
Usually when you're dealing with a mass murderer, in my opinion, because we are all bound, we're definitely bound,
mm-hmm.
and I do believe that we are a reflection. You know that song, We Are the World, We Are the Children?
Yeah.
What happens is that the planet Earth has a disease. It has a sickness throughout much of its history in that man has been allowed to manifest and kill men and women. So this disease of murder, which happens to be logically breaking one of the Ten Commandments, at lower levels is definitely the responsibility of the individual.
Right.
But whenever you place a person in power, you know, like, what if we knew that electing Bush or electing Dukakis, that one of these people would start a nuclear war and kill the planet? If we knew that ahead of time, I think we'd be damned before we ever voted for that guy, right?
Of course.
Okay. But on the other hand, let's say one president would answer a first strike from Russia and destroy the planet, whereas the other president would negotiate. We would probably lose 10 or 12 of our cities in the meantime during a first strike,
mm-hmm.
but the whole planet wouldn't be destroyed.
Right.
See, so obviously the first president that would act and just foolishly press a button and return 1,000 missiles and also kill men, women, and children and so doing at the same time, which is just as bad as anyone killing anyone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but you see, we as a people, we manifest these characters.
Of course.
And we create them. And see, this Demjanjuk, of course, he has a tremendous amount of karmic responsibility involved with what he did. But then there's a lot of questions, as he had a long road to power. And he just wasn't accidentally placed in a position where people's lives were in his hands. The way this world is run, we are constantly electing, appointing, and hiring people that are always holding people's lives in their hands.
So how can we avoid this?
Well, it's a planetary karma. It's a group karma. It's a national karma, for depending on who's involved. And it's like a molecular karma that, of course, the Nazi Party was engulfed in. The Nazi Party, I would say, as an individual source of evil, negative vibration, who I think is dedicated to halting any kind of metaphysical evolution on this planet and totally destroying any substance of faith or God or oneness.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like their mission to create darkness and to blow away the light. So this guy, Demyanik, I don't know what's going to happen to him because there's other factors, psychological factors. He might have been mentally ill. The soul might be more just in judging itself in case mental illness or a brain tumor or some kind of disease like syphilis. People act crazy.
But he lived out so long and he did so much damage and he's still alive today. He's not, you know, he doesn't have syphilis and all that stuff. What I'm saying is that how did he kill so many people? What drove him? And I don't think it was just a disease. I think it's the stars. And I think it's far beyond you and I as to what drove him to do it. And I think he was born to do that.
You know what it is? It's like gangs, Casey.
Yeah.
Whenever there are Taurus transits, just like during World War II, when all this madness was going on and Saturn and Uranus were conjunct in Taurus, then it stresses the fixed signs, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, and Taurus, and it creates power plays and power struggles and competition where one guy says, I'm better than you, and it gets to a point that they get so insecure that they end up starting to kill people to try to prove their power.
So we're involved in gangs and ego, and I've spoken to you about the ego before. I'm dealing with it very much myself. And I think that a lot of us are, we're afraid to express ourselves, or we overexpress ourselves and we step on other people.
Right.
And I've learned from you to step back and see where everybody else is playing their game and how their life is going. And I've not stepped on as many people by listening to you. It's been very good for me. And I tell everybody else that's listening is to follow the patterns that you say and step back and watch the world as it goes by and then jump in and get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so much fun to have you talk to me all the time. And it seems like you're speaking specifically to me, although I know everybody else is saying the same thing. In any case, the man, like I was speaking, in my job, I lock a lot of people away in cells, okay?
Yeah.
I run a jail. And I feel that I'm doing some very good things because I am preventing those people from creating more worse karma for themselves by killing or maiming or whatever they do. And I'm also giving them a chance to sit and watch themselves as to what they're doing. And they are not there forever. Nothing is forever. So I'm very much involved in what you're saying, and it really involves a lot of my life. So keep up the good work, and I love hearing from you.
Well, Casey, you know what else, though?
What's that?
You know, one of the best ways to absolve karma, because God is merciful, is to meditate. If people do not meditate to absolve karma, if they don't tackle their karma, you know what happens? They're put into a situation of forced meditation, which is what jail is.
Yes, of course.
Because in jail, when you're locked up and you're alone and there's nothing to do, a lot of the day you are forced to sit there and ponder and think of what's going on with your life.
Yeah, but so many of those people tend to blame the world for why they're there.
Yeah.
And they don't look as to themselves as to why they're there, whereas you, with your astrology, I've got my chart through you, I've got a lot of things from you, and I start looking to what I am doing with my life that has brought me to where I am now. Most my successes and my failures, I look at to what have I done along with the universe as to what's going around. So you've given me the power to make me in charge of what I'm doing. And when I go to a synagogue or a temple or a church, whatever I do, where whomever I pray to, I know that I am still in charge as to what goes with me, along with my God, however I perceive that person to be.
You know what else is frightening too, Casey?
What?
The fact that this guy, John Demyanik, has the same I am inside of him that you and I and everyone has. See?
He's ignored it.
Obviously he has, but in a way, if one person does damage to any other person on this planet, we are still all, in a metaphysical sense, karmically plugged in to that error. See, that fall. If we changed our philosophy on this planet and all the power struggles stopped and the competition stopped and the killing stopped, then we could definitely admit to the fact that we had evolved as a people and lifted our consciousness and overcome this life-death syndrome that we have manifested, which is horrible. It's a warrior part of the planet. See, the planet, the history of this planet is based on a lot of warrior struggles, and I myself, my own soul, as yours does, I'm sure, relates to being a warrior priest type individual, where you try to be godlike, but at the same time you got to defend yourself so you don't get killed by what's going on in this planet. And it's not an easy course, we are going through a power struggle in Iran. I mentioned months ago that I thought the political status of this country would be shifted in April and May in this world. So there is definitely a war potential. I mean, how often are you going to blast Iran? You know, Reagan's chart is lit up. How do we know they haven't already assigned a death squad to try to kill Reagan? Some of the choices he makes, I predicted a long time ago that his life was also vulnerable because of some of the enemies he would create.
Well, I know what you're saying, and I've done meditation, and I've thought about this a lot. I don't think we're going to have a nuclear war. I don't think we're going to destroy this wonderful place called Earth. I think that you, through your work and people listening today, are going to straighten out the problems little by little, step by step, you know, inch by inch. We're going to do it because we have to all be aware of what's going on. And you teach us how to listen to who we are. You're not giving us all the answers, but you're allowing us the space to create our own reality of beauty and peace and quiet on this earth. And it's going to happen, Farley. I know it. And it's a beautiful world we have, and it's going to stay beautiful.
Okay, thanks, Casey.
Thanks for talking.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. All right. There's an interesting comment, and I don't know. I can't understand this mass murder stuff, but as long as they lock these people away and keep them away from society or do something with them, I think I feel safer. Let's go back to the phones and talk to some more people. Let's go now to Carol on line two, who has a question. She is a Sagittarius with Gemini rising. Hi, Carol.
Hi there, Farley.
How are you?
Great. Enjoyed your topic.
Oh, thank you.
And the discussions. I always enjoy your show.
All right.
I just got my chart, and I picked up Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook, and I'm having a wonderful time with this book.
it's like being in a... I don't know. When you get into astrology and you start being able to handle some of this magnetic philosophy I talk about, mm-hmm. and it becomes more and more clear, mm-hmm. it kind of puts a big smile on your face because it starts explaining to you exactly why all this stuff goes on in our lives the way it does.
Exactly. Just open up a lot of doors for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting really excited about it. I had a question as far as exploring, how do you find soul's purpose in a chart when you're born?
Well, you know, the whole chart reveals purpose, because when you're looking at a chart, you're looking at a chart in a perspective of the entire picture. Because each planet will really lay out to us a certain particular debt to destiny or to our soul's karma. And a lot of times, to focus on soul's purpose, you have to look at the whole picture.
Right.
But I like to zero in on the planet Saturn in house and sign and how it's aspected as far as life's major lesson or what you were born to major in. It's like life is like a college, and Saturn says, well, you're majoring in family and power, Farley. It's Saturn and Leo in the 11th and friends and goals. And I go, thanks, God, once again for that.
I would look at Saturn and...
Yeah, Saturn and the north node of the moon, depending on what house and sign that is in, will also tell us what we need to accomplish before we are allowed to leave this life cycle.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Farley.
Bye-bye. Doreen is on line 4, January 17, 1958, Cap Rising. Hi, Doreen.
Hi, Farley.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'm so glad I got through. I have a problem. I listen to you at work during my lunch, and I can only hear you outside the building in the car. When I come inside, I can't pick you up.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I try to call in. Actually, I can sit on the phone for an hour if I'm lucky and just listen and wait and hope maybe I can get through.
But, oh, that's good.
I just want to know I really enjoy your show, and I love my chart.
Oh, thank you. That's very good.
I hate to go away from your topic, which they're always so interesting, but I was wondering if I could get a general scan.
Sure. You're a pretty independent puppy here, huh?
I try to be.
Are you a traveler or somebody that's more adhering to career and work ethic?
I haven't traveled too much. I'm a New York resident and here about 10 years.
One thing I really do love in your chart, can you tell where your Venus is? I mean, what degree is your Cap rising? How's that?
It's 4 degrees.
Oh, wow. You are showing a money surge here, a big one. Like, you could win a prize or a lottery or something wonderful could be happening because you have Venus and Aquarius in the money house and Mars is getting ready to go over that. And then Venus and the Moon and Gemini today are both trine it. So today would be a great day to ask for a raise, make an investment, buy a house, start a business, or any of that stuff. And actually, I think that you actually shown a lot of fun and some new friends and new creative effects in your life all week, okay?
Oh, great. That's great. You know, it's funny. I was going to ask about financial because it's been tough lately, but I hate to dwell on that. So I thought if I could just ask one other thing, if you saw maybe... My husband and I are trying to have a family.
Okay, well, Doreen, I only really can do one question per caller.
Okay.
So next time you call, try to focus on what you need to hear, okay?
Sure will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. A hot topic, planetary magnetism, the Earth as a magnetic circuit, with some interesting comments about the world situation. and Reagan, and also on that convicted war criminal. Okay, let's go to the phones now. Barbara has another question. Hi, Barb.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
How you doing?
Excellent. I enjoyed my rest.
Well, that sounds good. I hope we all can get some rest like you're able to do at times. I've got a question in regards with when a baby is born. What difference would there be if when that baby is born, they're born at the same time, same city, same date, but of course of different parents? Would there be any type of karmic special connection between those children, or would there be any type of a soul evolution with them, or what could you basically say about those children born at, like I say, the same time, city, date of birth?
I think it's almost more special than being twins myself, because what you're talking about is that these children being born in the same city and taking that first breath within a few minutes of each other to receive the same exact rising sign and the same exact charts have actually chosen the same uniqueness, the same illusion of separation karmically that they have chosen. The only difference, it's like taking a Corvette and driving down the highway in case you were born to a rich family, or taking a Corvette and trying to get through the Amazon jungle in case you were born in the ghetto. See, like the vehicle is usually exactly the same, but depending on the sex of the baby, male or female, the race, color, creed, and the economic class, obviously the choices and the individual karmic path is going to be very different. But still, the children will have the same magnetic vibration because, see, the Earth had that certain pulse when they first took their first breath, and that pulse would be a similar vibration that had these two people sat down and got to know each other or talk to each other, that some of the similarities might be just unbelievably, almost shocking, I would think.
What if they would happen to be, for instance, of, you know, like all born at, or I should say two children, for instance, or two babies, born at the same hospital or on the same, like, west side of the city with the same economic, social background? What would you say about them in regards with a karmic type of a pattern?
The closest thing that I've ever come to being confronted with myself was dating a woman who was born the same day, same year as me. Similar chart, just a few degrees off the ascendant. And I'm telling you something, most of the time our mouths were on the floor because we were born in similar economic backgrounds, same race, similar religion and such. And actually, I almost wanted to marry this woman, but we were so vulnerable to each other that we unfortunately blew each other away. It was kind of scary, you know?
Yeah, you were so identical almost.
We fit together like Laurel and Hardy or Abby and Slack or whatever, you know? It was uncanny. It was too uncanny. It was so unreal that when it was over, it seemed like to be a dream.
I was going to say, was there any special enlightenment for you, you know, when you came in contact with someone like that?
Oh, yeah. Talk about soul-searching. After having that kind of experience, where you feel like you are in a total reflection of yourself, even though she was a woman, I definitely took life a total different way. And you know what I learned from her? This is the heaviest thing. Meeting a woman with Farley's chart, at from that point on, what she taught me was how to respect women. Because at that point, I really wasn't giving the women the respect they needed. And after my experience with her, it was like, whoa, never again will I ever doubt the needs of a woman. You know what I mean?
Awakening experience.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to that woman, Linda, I've never been the same.
Well, wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Farley. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go over here to another general question. Mark on line two. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Farley.
Fine. Boy, a lot of people with interesting questions today.
Well, this is a good day to ask them.
All right.
These are a great day. 2 hours of you.
Yeah.
The question I have, last week or so, maybe a little longer, you talked about the degrees of your rising sign and have you worked through the karma. And I was wanting a little bit more info on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or your explanation, or, you know, about that. Where can we get more information? I just caught the last end of it and it really intrigued me to delve further into it.
I don't think there's too many places you can get information except for right here in this show. Because I think as an astrologer, number one, who has a radio show, number two, with such an evolved listening audience, number three, of people that have called me in their rising sign degrees for now 4 years going on five, right, that I have been granted the ability and the blessings to look at people's degrees of rising, and I've kept records of how many people call and what their degrees are and what the frequency of degrees of people call. And I get a vibration of each person calling. And I have just noticed, you know, from my own personal research, that people from 20 on in the ascendant seem to actually handle and receive life a little easier. And people from 10 to 19 get it a little less easier, but still it's not as tough. And then I find people from 0 to 9 or 0 to 10 in rising sign, they get it. They're just as curious, but sometimes there's a little bit more of a struggle. So it's kind of like the degrees of rising are like a stepladder. You know, as you get through it, I kind of think that part of your karmic growth and part of the evolution of your soul, as depicted by the degree of rising sign, which is what is actually prepared for the soul at birth, because obviously if the baby is going to be born within an hour or two, which depends on whether your rising is 0 to 29. See, like, if that baby needed a 2 or a 3 or a 4 degree Aries rising, it's going to be born, boom. But if it needs 28 Aries rising, which I think is much more evolved as far as handling the Aries ascendant better, less ego, see, then that baby would wait another hour and 40 minutes before it came out. Hence, that's why we have long labors and complications in labors, or an instant cesarean, because that child is screaming to get that rising sign. It's like, let me out of here now. You know, like, I need this ascendant. And I'm not saying, I'm not putting anyone down if they have an ascendant in the early degrees, because frankly, in my tests, I do find that children with higher degrees of rising from like 20 to 29, they will do better in school, for example, or at least excel in certain topics, or almost rebel with a high-low report card, right? Whereas people from 0 to 9 may have to really study hard. See, I'm a 20 Libra rising. I really never studied that much. And when I took classes, I guess I passed and got C's and B's and A's through osmosis. I knew some people with Aquarius ascendants from 21 to 29, and they got A's without studying at all. See? Does that help you any?
Very much so. Very enlightening.
What's your rising degree?
26.
Do you feel that? Do you feel that you have a certain quality that allows you to excel beyond certain people, especially in a competitive situation?
Yeah, it's just nice to hear some confirmation on other areas too. So.
Another fascinating thing that is really mind-blowing is a lot of your world championship sports teams are littered with people that have rising signs more from 16 to 29 than from 1 to 14, because they appear to have that edge. Heavy, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Connie in line number 8, Gemini with Taurus rising, and we have, we did have one line open. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Farley. How are you?
I feel a lot better. I really needed those 2 days off.
Yes, I just want a general scan.
How was your Saturn return?
Pardon?
How was your turning 30? Was that fun for you, or?
Not really.
Was it sad?
Kind of, yes.
Oh, did you cry?
I did.
Well, do you feel better now?
I feel a little better.
Now, you have a Scorpio moon, is that right?
That's right.
Wow, gosh, you know what that means?
Mm.
All of us that have Scorpio moons, boy, did we take advantage of people emotionally in past lives, I'll tell you. When you have a Scorpio moon, it makes you vulnerable sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and it makes you feel more vulnerable, especially when you're involved in emotional situations. So I have found that the Scorpio moon individual a lot of times has a lot more lessons concerning money and love and business and career and romance. Intense things, you know? Like, when you get personal with people, Scorpio moons tend to get a little bit more personal than most. And you have a moon trine Venus, which is a wonderful aspect. It's extremely psychic. Do you feel that?
I am very psychic. Very, very.
Sometimes too much, right?
Sometimes too much.
I know, and sometimes what it can do is reveal things to you that make you want to run, because you have a grand trine in the water, Mars in Pisces, Venus in Cancer, and Moon in Scorpio there, so it's like a magic triangle that can reveal things that always might not seem as happy as you want them to be. And my Venus is right in the middle of all that, too. Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Farley.
Bye, Connie. Let's go to Oscar now on line 5. He's a Libra. Hi, Oscar.
Hi, Farley.
I thought you knew your rising sign.
No, I don't. I haven't been able to ask for it yet.
Okay.
I just like to have a general scan.
A general scan, huh? How's life treating you so far? You like it?
Not really.
Why? It's too rough?
It's kind of rough, very confusing, and very much out of direction, out of direction, and not finding, a purpose or...
What's the best part of your life, Oscar? Come on, guy, dig deep here. Listening to my show, how's that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oscar...
opportunities like this, you know, it's like going to church and finding out about myself. I guess, you know, that's the most exciting part.
I think that you're too much of a thinker here, Oscar. You have a lot of Virgo Scorpio in your chart. Mercury in Scorpio is an intense mind, and Virgo and Pluto and Venus and Pluto in Virgo is a worrier. You know, are you somebody that worries about things?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Now you are shown a lot of money and better relationships almost immediately. But I think part of it has to do with your sense of humor and your attitude, because nobody wants to hang around somebody that's depressed.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a clown down deep inside of you, I think you better develop that part of you and practice confidence and practice optimism and practice affirmations until you get into a pattern that'll help brighten your life up more, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.